His next trip took him by train along the coast to Marne. There he transferred to the line that ran between the rounded green hills to Pittville. On one side, the town looked peaceful and idyllic. On the other, the gaping hole for which the town was named lay raw and red as a wound. Pilar Metris had an office in a building full of professionals, attorneys, accountants, land surveyors. Rafe did not intend to confide in her. He hadn't known any of the younger girls well. The woman who came out to greet him from an inner office looked nothing like the girl's image in his implant. Dark, elegant, and hard-faced, she looked him up and down as if he were an animal for sale.
You're a foreigner. You should know that I don't handle international disputes.
I did not come for representation, but for general advice. Your receptionist has my credit deposit for an hour of your time.
Come in, then. Explain.
I'm in food service. We, the professional organization I belong to, food service managers, are looking for a location for our triennial convention. We prefer not to be in urban areas, but within an hour of a transportation hub, I was hoping you could advise me whether there is anything in this part of the continent that might suit. I came to a barrister, an attorney, I believe you call them.
She nodded, her face now less hostile, merely intent.
I came to you because I thought you would be more likely to know of any legal barriers to an interstellar gathering of considerable size and any local legal difficulties that might arise with advance contracts.
What size?
For the triennial, that would be 5,000 to 6,000. For one of our smaller conventions, such as the annual local regional, which includes all of the Moscow Confederation and Nexus Group, only about 200. All this is contingent on restoration of Ansible communications, of course. Not the regional, because we and you both have working Ansibles, but the big one. Well, I haven't been able to contact friends back at Allray or Salion for almost a standard year.
I see. I'm afraid there's nothing suitable here or within hundreds of kilometers for your large convention. We do have several recreational and retreat centers in the hills to the northeast. For business people, I would think Green Hills Conference Center or Chelsea Falls Conference Center would be best. The others are either summer facilities for children or sporting complexes. Should you need to book facilities with one of the conference centers, I'd be glad to guide you through the contract process.
Thank you. You've been most kind and helpful. I will look up the conference centers. I presume they have listings?
Oh, yes. But I would expect both to be booked up for the next 2 years. They're very popular. How long will you be staying in Pittville, Sarah Tanvi?
Rafe wondered if Lyssa had contacted her.
A few days. My stomach does not like constant travel. I find I need to pause now and then and recover.
I see. Well, if you need any further assistance while you're in town, by all means ask me.
Rafe spent the rest of the day as a travel-weary businessman might be expected to. He ate a bland meal, went for a walk in the mellow afternoon light, and settled into his room for the evening. The desk comp connected him to the advertising for both conference centers. Chelsea Falls, northwest of the mines, had two pretty waterfalls in a gorge. Rafe set up a bounce relay with care. He wanted any number he called to connect as if he were in Central instead of here in Pittville. Then he contacted the number given. He spoke to the desk clerk, inquiring about future vacancies, and expressed his regret that they had no space at the time of the regional convention. Its communications codes included the relay sequence, but the originating codes were nothing like the ones he'd noted. That could be faked, of course. Or his parents might be held in some private residence, in which case. He shook his head and called Green Hills with the same inquiry. As the numbers came up, he had trouble keeping his voice steady. The same originating code, the right sequence of communications nodes. He forced himself to finish the conversation with the clerk. So sorry, no, the date of the convention could not be changed to fit Green Hills' only vacant slot, and closed the contact. He closed his eyes briefly, willing himself to calmness. From here on, he must be even more careful. The structure was listed as the Green Hills Conference Center, owned by the Green Hills Development Corporation.
Who owns Green Hills?
Rafe, flat on his belly on the edge of a vast grassy space, had not been able to winkle that out of the local databases without risking the question being noticed. He stared across the bowl to the cluster of buildings surrounded with shrubs and trees. One large, three stories at least, the cupola to a small tower peeking out of the trees. One with the extra-large ventilator hoods that suggested a large institutional kitchen. Small buildings, hardly more than cabins, placed haphazardly around the margin of the wooded space. And beyond, surrounding the buildings, the mown grass. Clear field of fire up to the tree line, where dense forest surrounded the facility. Here it was a mix of evergreens and deciduous trees, now dropping leaves like flakes of gold and bronze with every puff of air. Two roads in, the staff entrance, a narrow one-lane blacktop bordered by hedges, the only cover across the grassy circle. The public entrance, a generous two lanes edged with bedding plants, all copper and bronze at this season, ended in a small parking area. One vehicle sat there. By its thermal signature, it had been in place for at least 6 hours. And the whole place was thick with detection equipment in all modes. If he had not found and suppressed one of the section command nodes 200 meters back, not even his chameleon suit would have kept him safe. The command node's instruction set was ISC security standard, proof that someone involved was ISC, or that ISC security had holes all through it. Another depressing thought. A white van came into view on the servants' road. Small, any lettering or logo on its sides hidden by the hedges from his viewpoint. It moved at a moderate pace and disappeared behind the cluster of buildings. Rafe extended his probe into the security command net, careful not to tickle any of the internodes, but he could not reach anything useful. The elements within his reach could give him enhanced audio-visual of their detection arc direct to his implant, but nothing more. The staff parking areas, he already knew, were surrounded by buildings, out of sight of the perimeter or underground. In a benign setting, this might be to keep any utilitarian objects out of view of customers who expected total elegance. Here, such caution seemed sinister. No legitimate enterprise needed this level of security, of secrecy. Something moved. He saw sunlight flash. It was a glass door opening. Tiny figures exited the building, three of them. Two were in gray coveralls. Rafe increased the magnification in his eyepiece. Not just coveralls, but camouflage battle dress, its surface now inactive. The third figure wore business clothes, but atmospheric instability made wavering patterns in Rafe's eyepiece. He could not see the face clearly enough to be sure of an identity. That third figure went to the parked vehicle and entered it. After a moment, the vehicle moved, leaving by the public road. The two uniformed figures stood together watching, then turned back to the buildings and entered the largest. An hour later, another white van entered the area along the service road. Rafe could still see no logo, thanks to the hedges. It, or its twin, reappeared quickly and stopped partway to the trees, blocking the service road. Rafe boosted his visuals. The sun was going down, and long shadows dimmed his view of the road. A short time later, a second white van emerged from the trees near the buildings, followed by a third. The first van moved ahead, on into the trees, followed by the other two. Rafe dared not tap into the perimeter security to see if it went all the way to the public road. He lay there another 3 hours. Nothing moved in the compound. No lights came on.
Are my parents still here? Were they ever here?
By midnight, he was out of the woods, undetected as far as he knew, and back in Pittville, his disguise restored in the cab of the rental car. The doorman at the hotel greeted Rafe when he had turned the car in.
Did you enjoy your drive, Sir Ratanvi?
It's very pleasant country. Especially, I would think, at this time of year. The trees where I live are all evergreen.
Well, you should see it in the spring, when the trees are in bloom.
The next morning, Rafe went back to Pilar's office, and this time the receptionist smiled at him.
You are having a pleasant time, sir?
Indeed, yes. Though the resorts are all booked up for the next year, as Sarah Metris said they might be. I've just a few more questions for her, if she's free.
It will be a short time, but then yes.
Rafe pored over the local business directory, trying to think of some way to ask what he needed to ask without breaking character. There simply was no way that even his supple imagination could devise. When they were alone, Pilar looked at him, one corner of her mouth pulled in.
Sarah Tanvi, I perceive that you are not entirely what you seem.
Lyssa.
Lyssa was not my year. I didn't have much to do with the younger girls.
No, you were younger.
That time is over. I don't talk about it.
Nor do I. But some things are never over.
So what do you really want, Sarah Tanvi, in food processing?
A name, which an attorney might have.
And if I choose not to cooperate? If I think this is something for law enforcement?
Then my family will die, if they aren't dead already.
Pilar gazed at him without a change of expression for a long moment.
You're serious?
Completely.
They were rich?
Yes.
Powerful?
Yes.
And you think they're in danger? Why?
I would rather not tell anyone who doesn't have to know. I believe the danger is extreme.
You want to find them, rescue them.
I need to find a reliable person who does that sort of thing.
Hostage extrication. Very dangerous, very much a specialty. There are three firms I know of, assuming you don't want to go to the authorities. Since you haven't, I'm safe to assume.
That's right. If their disappearance isn't public knowledge, there's a reason, and the authorities could be involved.
You have asked me if I will serve as the local contact should your association decide to hold its annual conference here. That is all you have asked me. I asked for a retainer. You paid it. You will pay it when you leave. A name you might know. Gary.
Rafe remembered exactly one Gary they had in common. The older boy who had made his life hell for 2 years of his incarceration at the school.
The best reputation on the planet. It's a respectable company providing general and special security services.
Gary?
Her mouth quirked. She scrawled something on a plasfilm strip.
As it happens, I have his personal contact numbers. Here. And now I believe our business is finished. My receptionist will be glad to take care of the retainer.
Thank you.
Lyssa was kind to me, and to Colleen. And I have to admire someone who cares about a family who dumped him into that hellhole. Mine can rot for all I care.
In the outer office, Rafe paid the retainer. He decided to wait until he was away from Pittville to call Gary. In fact, he would call while in transit to his next stop. He caught the afternoon train back to the coast, then the night train to Balcock, the nearest city with a commercial airport. The night train had a full directory. Gary's firm came up with an office number instead of the ones Pilar had given him. And the firm's office was in Balcock.
Why there, not central? Which number to call? Well, Ratanvi would have no reason to call a security services firm.
He called the private number. He was not surprised when the link icon lit a security bubble.
This is Gary.
It didn't sound like the old Gary, but it had been 15 years at least.
Pilar gave me this number. Lyssa mentioned me to her.
Look, I don't play games. Whatever your...
The door to the steam tunnel could be opened from the other side only with a key.
The worst night of Rafe's life had been spent on the wrong side of that door.
This wouldn't be that rich boy, would it?
Yes. I need to hire an expert.
Expert in what?
Retrieving stolen valuables.
Where are you?
On a train to Balcock.
You know where our corporate HQ is?
Yes.
Don't go there. Check into a hotel. The Dorset Arms or the Seaview. Name?
Jensen Ratanvi.
Good grief. Well, Sarah Tanvi, we'll meet tomorrow to discuss your business. Shall we say 10 of the clock?
Rafe left the station in the morning crowd and didn't notice anyone following him. He checked into the Seaview, which, despite its name, had only one narrow slice of sea view, and that only from rooms on the right front corner. His room, fifth floor back, looked out onto a parking lot and the blank wall of another building. That suited him. He had slept little. His mind kept churning through the possibilities, most of them grim. He forced himself to eat something for breakfast. Promptly at 10, the desk comp buzzed. He told the desk clerk that yes, he was expecting a visitor, and please send him up. Despite himself and the years between, Rafe's stomach tightened when he opened the room door and faced Gary. Whatever he'd been doing in the intervening years, Gary had not let himself go. He was as fit and muscular as he had been in his late teens. Almost a head taller than Rafe, massive shoulders in a well-fitted suit, he looked like the tough he was, or had been. He looked Rafe up and down after Rafe closed the door behind him.
I hope that's not your real belly.
I am here in the person of Jensen Ratanvi, food service manager.
Rafe let one of his knives slip into his hand and turned his hand so Gary could see it.
But underneath...
You're the same snaky kid you were before. I suppose that's good.
Gary moved to the room's easy chair and sat down. He opened his briefcase and pulled out an array of gear that Rafe recognized as scan detection and stealthing equipment. For a moment or two, Gary said nothing as he set this up and turned it on.
So, what do you need?
Rafe settled into the desk chair.
My parents and sister, my whole family have disappeared. I can't find my sister's husband. She may be pregnant, or she may have a baby. I've been away for years. I'm not sure the date she was due. The house is empty but not looted, and there's a police guard out by the gate. The private house line has a trap on it. My father's private number is supposedly out of service. There's been no word publicly. I think they've been abducted. I don't know by whom, or for sure where they are. I think I know where they were until the day before yesterday.
And what do you want from me?
I want to find them and rescue them, of course. Pilar says you're the best on the planet. I want you to help me. I was going to do it myself, but if something went wrong...
You're crazy. No one person, no two people can extricate hostages if the captors are at all competent. And from what you say, the professional quality...
I have to get them...
No, you have to use your head, Rafe. You ask my advice, listen to it. You're talking 3-4 hostages, right? 2 seniors?
They're not senile.
I didn't say they were. But they're not going to be as resilient, as physically capable as younger people. And a young woman who may or may not be pregnant, may or may not have a child?
I don't know.
And that's a problem. And you also don't know if any of them were injured in the original snatch. And you don't know why law enforcement isn't on this loud and clear. It's serious gray, if not black. And you aren't qualified to know what it's going to take. Rafe, sit down and listen. This is my specialty. If it were yours, I would know that. You know covert stuff, I'll grant that. I have no doubt you've done things on the dark side. I have no doubt you're brilliant with any kind of communications or surveillance gear. But you do not know what it takes to extricate hostages. And I do.
So do it then.
Just like that. You show up again after however many years it's been, and I have no idea if you're still worth a damn.
As a killer?
As someone I can trust to pay the bills. Oh, yeah, we all knew you were a rich kid. Good for any amount of money. And I heard you were still a rich kid, getting remittance from Papa as the price of staying away. That doesn't sound like someone I want to trust with the lives I'm responsible for.
Rafe tried not to glare, remembering Gary as someone who had never, to his knowledge, accepted responsibility for anyone else.
Responsible.
Gary's mouth worked as if he might spit, but he didn't.
Yeah. Things you didn't know, rich boy. There were other kids I took care of back then. There are men I take care of now.
You didn't...
Do a thing for you for the first year, that's true. You were a cocky little squirt, Rafe. You had all that rich man's son gloss all over you. And I hated the rich for good reason. I wanted to see that gloss come off. See if you were worth anything underneath. And you surprised me. You were. Then you left. And I don't know this, Rafe.
Too much time between. Too many things happened. It'd take weeks to catch up if we ever could, and I don't have that time.
Think you're tough enough to force me?
Might be, but that's a waste of time, too. I have more important things to do than prove myself to you, Gary. If you don't want the mission, say so. I'll go somewhere else.
You won't find any better than me. You just get in more trouble. I am an idiot because I'm going to trust someone I know as a snake to the backbone. And I swear, Rafe, if you cross me, I will stake your snaky vertebrae to the hottest griddle in hell one by one.
I don't want to cross you. I want to get those people out safely.
Those people? Not your family?
If I think of them that way, I can't think.
Yeah. Whatever helps you, give me what I need for the team.
Which is?
Info and money. I'm assuming you still have unlimited funds?
Not at the moment. My account's not available. I don't have access codes for the family accounts, let alone the corporate accounts. That's part of the problem. I can't get into my personal accounts locally. But that will be obvious to anyone watching, and I know someone is.
Tell me.
Rafe described the experiences he'd had in the past days, from the phone surveillance of his family's numbers to the difficulty with accessing his accounts.
I should have been able to transfer funds from the deposit account to my aliases without a hitch. I'd done it before. Financial transactions are supposed to be secure anyway. It's one of the selling points for financial Ansibles. This time, a team of ISC security personnel showed up at the hotel, and I barely got away.
So, how are you planning to pay for my services?
My alias has accounts on Cascadia. An Ansible service between here and there is still functional. I don't know if it's enough until you give me a price, though. If it is, then you'll work through a dummy corporation selling baking equipment.
Baking equipment?
My alias is a food service manager. I've been all over the planet looking at food processing equipment, commercial ovens, specialized snack production equipment, and so forth. There's suspicion, but so far I think the bad guys are convinced that my alias is a real person with someone trying to use his identity.
I don't come cheap. What we do is dangerous work, and my team is well aware of the risk. I have to provide sufficient medical coverage and death benefits to recruit reliable skilled team members, as well as training facilities and equipment.
So how expensive is not cheap?
There's a per diem or a permission rate. Per diem seems lower, but you have to understand that it includes the pre-extrication time necessary to assemble, breathe, and train the team for this specific task, as well as the time needed for the mission itself. That's always more days than the customer expects, though I give the best estimate I can. Permission is much higher, but it's a turnkey price. It doesn't matter how long it takes. I absorb any overage.
How long do you think this would take?
I don't know. Don't have enough data yet. You say they've been moved from Green Hills. Well, that's good, because a setup like Green Hills is very difficult. We have to find the new location, assess it, plan a route in and out, train the team on any specific problem areas, and so on. I do not take credit. We have expenses up front, and I got stung a few times early on when I trusted someone. But I can see you're in a bind. If you can come up with a substantial down payment, I'm willing to trust that you or your family will pay the balance afterward.
Rafe felt a tiny burst of warmth.
You're that sure you can get them out?
I didn't get the reputation I have for failing, Rafe. I can't exactly give you references, but I can say that we've had only one failure in the past 6 years, and only two before that, out of quite a few cases.
So tell me what the down payment is.
The funds transfer from Cascadia went through without a hitch, and without, so far as Rafe could tell, arousing any interest from ISC security. With great care, he and Gary routed funds through several company names, and Rafe filed contracts for the manufacture of commercial ovens and food production machines with the relevant offices, and applied for export permits upon completion of design and manufacture of these machines. As far as Rafe could tell, this seemed sufficiently dull to arouse no interest here either. In the meantime, Gary had put his own intelligence-gathering team to work on the problem of location. His files revealed that Green Hills Development Corporation was distantly owned by ISC's Nexus 2 Local Development Division, along with a string of other resort and retreat properties.
By talking to various travel agents, we've been able to determine which ones are scheduled for events when. If your parents' captors are corporate, as you suspect, they'd be able to find holes in the schedules and move your family from one resort to another. Most of the places are fairly secure, as what clients pay for, after all. If we're lucky, this is how they're being held, and we'll locate them in a few days.
How long do you think they're being kept in each place?
Don't know yet. The gaps in the schedules range from a weekend, probably not time enough to move in hostages and move them out again, to 60 days or more for the hunting lodges. Did you ever stay at one of these places?
Rafe looked down the printout Gary had handed him.
We went to resorts sometimes, but I don't know if they were part of this list. Bel Era, yes. That was the first time I saw a tropical reef. But you've marked it off.
It's one of the busiest. All year used by conventions, corporate training sessions, and so on. Vacant at most for 3 days or during tropical storms. What about the ones marked in green?
My father may have gone to one of these. I see they're mostly hunting or fishing lodges, but I didn't.
I think they're the best bet. You said your family was snatched a maximum of 3 weeks ago, judging by the condition of the house and the plants. Green Hills had an opening starting about then, but a series of religious meetings was starting 2 days after you think your family was moved out. That's the kind of thing a retreat center can't cancel without people noticing. Maybe they hoped whatever they wanted would happen in that time, but just as likely it was planned as a short-term holding site.
Still a lot of places to look.
And a lot of tools to look with. I've got long-term surveillance data to play with. Want to see?
Always.
The files Gary opened astonished him. He looked at a summary graph of the previous 3 years' satellite data on travel patterns.
What made you start keeping all this?
The need to find people. You'll have noticed that this algorithm allows me to filter out all scheduled traffic and then to spotlight specific areas. Here I'm entering the locations of the ISC-owned resorts with gaps of 30 or more days in their schedules. The colors show total traffic in the past 3 years. File that. And now for this year.
Rafe, watching the lines and colors shift, was more impressed than he wanted to admit. Gary had always seemed like a big, dull-witted bully. Big and bully might be true, but not dull-witted. Rafe wondered how many other misjudgments of character he might have made, and how much those misjudgments mattered in this crisis. The planetary schematic turned, showing the other hemisphere. Gary reset the parameters, and they watched the schematic redraw itself.
Now let's match the traffic to the schedule gaps. Well, that's interesting.
What?
There. High-latitude hunting lodge, specializing in ice bear trophy hunting in winter, and wildlife ecotourism in summer. Normally it's vacant this time of year. Too cold for summer tourists, migratory birds have left, and the ice bears haven't migrated down yet. But you'll notice... Ah, yes. Traffic there a week ago, and since. And I'll check the infrared data on the next satellite pass.
You can access the security satellites?
Nothing tricky about that. I have a license. Law enforcement doesn't mind as long as I'm not extricating criminals from their prisons. I don't. It doesn't pay enough. And while we're waiting for that, let's see what else we can find out about... What do they call the place? Aurora Adventure Lodge.
Another visual came up. This one, a developer's rendition of the site. Against a backdrop of a lake, with mountains beyond, a glacier peeking between them, a massive log structure surrounded by smaller log cabins was rendered in bright colors, windows framed in white and bordered by green shutters. Flower baskets festooned the eaves, and more flowers overflowed planters on the deep porch.
This must be for summer tourists. Terrain's not bad.
It was treeless, lumpy with huge boulders scattered here and there, cut by streams emptying into the lake.
Above timberline?
Yeah, but plenty of cover on those rocks. If we control the airspace and aerial surveillance, and we will, we can get very close without being detected. Weather's the possible problem here. It's late autumn. The first winter storm should hit any time.
So how soon can you do it?
I still don't know enough. We need to know if they're really there, that it's not a decoy, and how many people are guarding them.
Access to Aurora Adventure Lodge, its website said, was by the incredibly scenic train from Bryggenhaw to the high-altitude station at Dobst, from which the train went on to Pergen, on the far side of the plateau. Dobst Station was just that, a small prefab building with a snack bar, toilets, a ticket counter, a left luggage room. Beside it was the station staff's dormitory, and adjoining was a bare-bones hostel for high country hikers. At Dobst, the site went on, Aurora Lodge guests were met with a seasonally appropriate vehicle and transported some 8 kilometers to the lake. The summer vehicle was motorized. The winter one appeared to be a horse-drawn sleigh. The website map showed public hiking trails well away from lodge property, touching the lakeshore kilometers away from the lodge. Private hiking trails led from the lodge down to the lake and along its shore, up from the lodge to the glacial margin, to various fishing spots and scenic overlooks. All were color-coded, for the use of lodge guests only. The property was secure, its brochure said, from all types of intrusion, physical and electronic. The perimeter barriers were top of the line.
They're not actually top of the line. They'll certainly stop a curious hiker or a criminal who'd like to sneak in and pretend to be on staff while robbing guests, or the casual, everyday kind of commercial snooping. The latest version of their perimeter security was installed almost 2 years ago. Reputable company in Brigenhaw. Main concern, ice bears in winter and nosy tourists in summer. Good products, but not the best. That costs too much. I know Stanny. He supervised installation, and he's good.
So?
It's more difficult than some jobs we've done, but not impossible.
When will I meet the others?
Meet them? You're not going to meet them.
But
I... Rafe, for the 100th time, you are not part of this op. You cannot be part of this op. You are a client like any other client. You must not be seen to have any connection whatever with what we're doing. It's bad enough that you aren't out there continuing to look for food processing equipment or being the businessman on vacation, chatting up beach girls or boys or something.
I can't just...
Gary's look stopped him. When he looked down, his left hand was shaking slightly. He went on breathing, willing it to stop. When it was steady, he looked up.
I'm being an idiot.
You're being a client. Clients are like that.
I don't like thinking myself a...
as just like everyone else. Well, that hasn't changed, at least.
Gary punched him lightly on the shoulder.
Don't worry. You aren't like the others, except at being anxious and tense and entirely too eager to jump in and help. But part of our security, and yours, and your family's, is a nice, thick, tight wall between my people and you. You have no idea what will happen after we get them out.
You said after. You really think?
After we get them out, yes. Yes, it's doable, and yes, we'll do it. If you don't muck it up in the meantime. Now, what was your original itinerary? How long did you plan to stay on Nexus?
Not this long. I planned to visit Dad, find out what was up with the Ansibles, see how the land lay, and then...
Did you have a reservation?
Yes, but now...
You have to use it.
No, I can't leave the planet not knowing...
Rafe, you have no reason not to leave. Your alias doesn't, I mean. If you don't leave, you'll arouse suspicion. You already have.
But...
Do you have anyone outside who would act as your office manager or CEO or whatever and send you orders to stay?
No.
Then you have to go. If you can sneak back in, that's fine, but you have to go in that persona. It'll make our job and your family much safer.
Intellectually, Rafe knew Gary was making sense, but he did not want to leave.
I'm sure I can work something up. Something believable.
What, break a leg? That's no part of travel, as you know.
I know. I need to be in a hospital or locked up.
From Gary's expression, the same thought had come to him.
I don't suppose...
You wouldn't like it. Lockup isn't much more fun than school was.
It wouldn't be the first time.
You're kidding.
No. Not on this planet, but I do know my way around a jailhouse.
All right. Well, something local. Something you can get out of, probably. Just to tide you over, hold you on planet until your ship's taken off and the op started.
I don't even know what gets you temporary incarceration here anymore. And it can't be with ISC security or something that a local would report to them.
Right. On the other hand, they or someone higher up has to know that you're behind bars or something else legitimate. So there's an explanation for you're not catching your ride out.
I guess I could get sick.
It's harder to find cooperative doctors in hospitals than cooperative law enforcement. Nah, don't look at me like that. I'm on their side now. Favors go both ways. I'm just thinking which one to call.
May I make a suggestion?
I may not take it.
Of course not. But a traveling businessman, like my persona, is apt to become lonely. He could misunderstand, perhaps, local customs.
A Cascadian?
Polite amorous insistence is still amorous insistence. And it depends so much on the attitude of the person receiving the attention, whether it is unwanted or not. Such a person might come to understand, at a convenient time, that the incident resulted from a cultural misunderstanding.
Rafe, you are even more devious than you used to be. But yeah, that's a possible scenario. and I suppose it suits you better than a false accusation of theft or conspiracy.
Since I expect to be guilty of the conspiracy, at least, before this is over, yes.
Gary's directions led Rafe to a mountain village straight out of the tourist brochures. Up a narrowing valley on a steep, winding road, mountains already snow-capped, looming closer and closer above, to the picturesque hotel with its wide porches on three sides, the big, airy rooms looking out on nothing but scenery. Jensen Ratanvi thought it was charming and said so. Rafe allowed his persona's gaze to linger just a little too long on the young woman at the desk when he came down to inquire about places to eat in the village. Then, instead of going to eat right away, he headed for the bar Gary had told him about. Inside, it was like every other small-town bar Rafe had seen. Two women of a certain age leaned across the bar, chatting. At a table in the corner, three men eyed him as they went on with whatever conversation they'd been holding. One of the women, a redhead, looked up.
"Want something?"
Rafe compared her to the description Gary had furnished and ordered a drink. He handed her the marked bill.
"You're not from around here."
"No, from Cascadia. I'm sent by my company to find a supplier of food processing equipment."
"Here?"
Rafe sipped his drink.
"Well, not exactly. I've been here on your lovely world for many days, and I needed a break. It is lonely, you know, traveling so far from home at the holidays."
"Holidays?"
"At home, it is the Festival of Trees. We put lights in the trees and walk among them."
Cascadians did that anyway. Rafe had done it once just to experience what Cascadians claimed was the ineffable spiritual power of trees. What he'd felt was chilly and damp from the wet branches dripping on his head. Now he leaned toward the woman and fell easily into the role Gary had given him.
"We don't worship trees here, but I know what you mean about being lonely."
From there, the conversation moved swiftly to the necessary conclusion, both he and the redhead having the same goal. She offered to show him around. He agreed. On the way up the street to the high end of town, she suggested a trip to the town's dairy center, empty at this time of day. Rafe agreed. They spent a pleasant 15 minutes or so in the hay barn, settling on who would do what, and then Rafe walked back to the hotel alone. They might have enjoyed more, but an essential part of the agreement was that no biological evidence should be produced. An hour later, the man in the green uniform tried to explain the situation to Jensen Ratanvi.
"I understand your concern, Sarah Ratanvi, and I mean no disrespect to either your system of origin or yourself. But when we have a complaint..."
"But it wasn't me. She must have made a mistake. I'm a Cascadian. I would never offer insult to anyone. It's against our culture. And I have tickets. You've seen them."
The man's name tag read Sly Lilyhands, which seemed entirely too strange, but his subordinates, two of them, addressed him formally as Lieutenant Lilyhands without so much as a twitch of the mouth. He was obviously a little out of patience with the stubborn foreigner.
"Sir Ratanvi, it is the policy of our government that if a person is detained from travel for an official inquiry, the transport company must refund the price of the tickets or offer equivalent transportation later. You will not be out of the cost of the tickets."
"That's something. But it is a disgrace even to be mistakenly thought to have committed such a heinous act. If my company finds out..."
"They will not find out from us unless you are in fact guilty. Now, if you will agree to make yourself available and not attempt to flee the community, I will simply retain your identity information."
He tapped the ID folder he had taken.
"Otherwise, I'm afraid it will be necessary to take you into custody. And I hope you realize that this is a courtesy to a foreign guest, and that our laws would allow me to take you into custody no matter what your demeanor."
"I understand. It is indeed most kind of you to allow me to remain in more congenial surroundings."
Rafe bowed a little in the Cascadian manner.
It was your congeniality that may have gotten you into trouble. A little less congeniality and a little more circumspection would be advisable. Now, you understand that no commercial transportation will be available to you without current ID. Is that clear?
But must I walk everywhere then?
Your money is good on local public transport. This applies to long-distance transport only.
Lilyhands handed back Rattan V. Rafe's jacket, the business case, and a little bowl containing what had been in Rafe's pockets. The hotel room key, the small change, all but the ID case.
Thank you again for your generous handling of this unfortunate situation. I apologize for my remarks earlier. It was just the surprise of being accused of such a thing.
No offense taken. Just settle in for a few days as we straighten this out. The local Judicar is on vacation, but she'll be back in 10 days or so. And maybe by then the young lady will have changed her mind.
At the hotel, it was clear that his room had been searched. Rafe didn't bother to check for a newly planted surveillance gear. He was sure it was there, but it didn't matter. What he ached to know, and could not find out without risking his cover, was whether Gary's contact was Lilyhands or the woman, or both. Both would make sense, especially if false claims against tourists were part of an established scam of some sort. He fell asleep, somewhat to his own surprise, on sheets scented with some flower. A few petals clung to a pillowcase, with the window open to let in a draft of cold air off the mountains behind the city. He had nothing to do until Gary contacted him, if Gary contacted him, and he might as well sleep. Two boring days later, Rafe had chatted up the hotel food service manager, who complained about the inadequacies of the hotel's automated kitchen machinery, and the town's only baker, a Luddite, who insisted on doing everything by hand. Rafe felt that he had done all he could to establish himself as a genuine food service professional. Everyone in town knew he was stuck there, and most of them thought they knew why. The redhead turned her back on him when he went into the bar. Other locals glared. Rafe himself was tired of wearing Ratanvi's plump suit and the disguising facial pads that made him look, to himself, like a constipated rodent. Another day dragged past. Rafe had walked up the street on one side of the noisy creek and back down the street on the other side. Though a brightly colored tram trundled up to the first ski lift station and back, Rafe preferred to stretch his legs in town. He needed nothing in any of the few shops, though they were fully stocked with anything a tourist might want, the owners having changed out of the summer stock for winter. Sweaters, caps, gloves, fur hats, and jackets. He had nothing to do. It was like being in deep space in FTL flight, isolated from anything interesting, except for the smells. His nose wrinkled as a small herd of cattle appeared at the head of the road up the mountain. Every day, Lieutenant Lilyhands appeared at the hotel, paused for a polite greeting, and then walked back to the station. Rafe wondered how much longer he could stand this without going crazy. He had finally given up walking the street over and over, and spent hours sprawled in a swing on the hotel's porch, staring down the valley. Far away, sunlight twinkled on moving vehicles, where the regional roadway and railway ran together for a few miles, sharing bridges across the Meltorn River. The car was a kilometer up the valley before he registered it. By now, he knew the usual ones. The regional post van, bright blue with buff stripes, that came every day. The 8 vehicles that left in the morning and returned in the evening from jobs away in the valley. The grocery truck that came every other day to the hotel and restaurants and bars. This car was different. Rafe took his feet off the little table and looked more closely. The car went past the hotel and stopped in front of the nearest bar. Gary got out and went into the bar without glancing at the hotel. Lilyhands, on his morning walk through the village, nodded to Rafe on the hotel porch and stopped into the bar as usual. He came out and walked back to the hotel.
I do believe, Sarah Tanvi, that your accuser may have made a mistake. She seems willing to retract her accusation. On the other hand, I really must have the Judicar's permission to release your identification documents.
So I remind you that you cannot travel on any commercial vehicles. And while I do not feel compelled to forbid your traveling outside the town limits with a friend, I must remind you that your identification will stay in my custody until the justice has put her stamp on the file.
That's very kind of you.
I might just mention that there's a fellow in the bar now, someone I personally know, who says he's willing to take you into town for a short time. I realize that a foreigner might not be willing to just go off with a stranger, but you may find it easier to contact your office back home. Let them know what's going on and when you'll be back from a communication center like Brigenhall, which is where this fellow's headed. It's up to you, of course.
That's very kind. I need to contact the office. You're quite right. And also to make another reservation. I should talk to him, perhaps?
I can tell him you're willing, if you want to settle up with the hotel.
How very kind of you. I believe I shall take the assistance of this kind stranger, if you'll excuse me.
The hotel clerk accepted his money. Rafe rolled his belongings into his duffel and was waiting on the hotel porch when Lily Hands came back with Gary and solemnly introduced them to each other, with a warning to Gary that Sarah Ratanvi was on no account to be allowed to use commercial transport without proper identification, which he, Lily Hands, retained.
He is not a criminal. There was a misunderstanding, and I do not wish to make difficulties, but the judicial process must be followed. When the judicar comes back, I am sure that his documents will be released.
I'll take care of him.
You have my thanks.
Rafe gave Lily Hands a final bow before he climbed into Gary's vehicle.
That was a very interesting experience.
Gary didn't look away from the tight curves on the road down the valley.
I've stashed nervous clients there before, some of them unwillingly. People likely to interfere with the op caused me trouble. Truth be told, I did consider just leaving you there until afterward, but I was afraid you might bolt. Lily Hands is good, but I'm not sure he's your match.
He's not, but I wouldn't have bolted. You don't need to be worrying about me. Can I get out of character now, or should I stay with Tanvi a while longer?
Stay until we're through Istalhote. There's a rail station there, a busy one. Buy a ticket to Brigenhall, board the train, get off at the first stop, and I'll meet you there.
What about ID?
They don't check ID on the suburban part of the line. And you can use this in the ticket machine.
Gary handed over a small ID chip. On it, Rafe saw his own image with a different name, Oliver Pearson. Address, 6713 Ave Retz, apartment 1407.
It's a valid address. Shouldn't be a problem in a quick inspection, if they even ask, which they won't.
Rafe went into the train station, as busy as Gary had said, and Rafe wondered why, and bought his ticket from a machine that evinced no interest in who he was. It probably had a visual recorder. Certainly the station had a number of them. But how often were such records checked? He found the right track and bought himself a snack from one of the vendors. When the gate opened for his train, he boarded with a crowd of others, pushing his ticket into the automated reader. No one in uniform appeared on the short ride to the first stop, where he got off along with at least 50 others and pushed his way out of the exit turnstiles. He didn't spot Gary at first. It wasn't the same vehicle, but a utility van with Marin and Sons custom doors and windows on the door. Gary was apparently reading a news fax, like half the other drivers in the lot, his face partly hidden with just enough profile showing for Rafe to recognize.
Get him back.
Rafe climbed into the back of the little van.
Now you can change. Clothes for you are in the blue duffel. Be sure to wear the cap and come sit by me when you're done. Bring the mugs that are in the rack behind my seat.
Rafe changed quickly, stuffing Ratanvi's paunch, cheek pads, and clothes into his own duffel and putting on the contents of the blue one. Programmable long underwear, lightweight body armor, a loose turtleneck that concealed the armor's gorget, a set of arm and leg sheaths, already loaded with knives. Rafe slid them out to check before putting the sheaths on. Shoulder and back holster with the firearms to put in them, a striped jumpsuit to fit over all that, and a cap that, when he felt carefully, had reflex armor sewn in between its cloth layers. He glanced around the van's interior, neatly racked and secured tools and other equipment. Two multi-paned windows and a door were secured in racks toward the rear, with an obvious invoice taped to the door. He clambered forward. They were moving along a road lined with light industrial buildings. Building contractors, plumbing supply, weather strip manufacturing, and the like. The mugs racked behind Gary's seat had the logos of a local drive-through eatery. Rafe picked them up and twisted between the seats to settle in beside Gary and put the mugs in the forward drink holder. Gary also wore a striped jumpsuit with a logo panel on the breast.
Everything fits?
Like you measured me. Changed your mind about having me along, I see. I take it we expect trouble?
Trouble pays my bills. I always expect it. I do my best to avoid the worst of it. Still, if I let you get killed, where's my money coming from? Yeah, your father's rich, but my contract's with you.
Gary negotiated a sharp turn.
About the other, you behaved yourself, Lilyhand said. And it occurred to me, if this is an ISC inside job as you think, then your expertise may be useful. As long as you do what you're told. You can still use stickers as well as firearms, right?
Right.
We have food in the van if you're hungry.
Not really.
Rafe's stomach felt far more uneasy than the vibration of the van warranted.
I need you in condition. You're going to be helping Sid with the communications. I can't afford to have you groggy. You look sick. What's the problem?
I'm just tense. I get this way.
Well, don't barf in my van. Try some crackers.
In a bit.
Rafe watched the terrain to their right. Up there, ahead, off to the right, his family were imprisoned by... He still wasn't sure exactly by whom, or how they were doing. He tried to imagine it, then tried not to. His background gave him too many pictures of such things, and it was all too easy to put his father's face, his mother's, his sister's, into those images.
How far in this van?
South side of Brigenhaw. 3 to 4 hours, if conditions don't change. We're delivering the windows and door there. You don't say anything. Just follow orders.
Rafe had never been to this part of his home world. His family home was on the far side of the continent, and they had vacationed mostly in the tropics. Now he saw mountains, ever more mountains, lifting higher and higher, and the sea visible on the left, bright as a mirror. The sun sank westward. Gulfs between headlands appeared far to the north as traffic thickened and the usual urban-suburban mess closed in around them. Gary turned into a fenced yard and backed up to a loading dock. Already, the yard was dim, the late sun blocked by a taller warehouse across the road.
Got those windows! Come on, kid. Get out here and help.
Rafe went to the back of the truck. Gary was already up on the loading dock, opening the van's back doors. The man on the loading dock had gone back inside for a wheeled dolly. Rafe climbed up to stand beside Gary. When the man came back, they eased the windows and door onto the dolly, and the man wheeled them into the light.
Close up, then get in the cab and wait.
Rafe closed and locked the back doors, jumped off the loading dock, and climbed back into the cab.
Is this Gary's other job, making custom windows and doors?
Another truck came in the gate, now with lights on. Rafe slumped down in his seat like any lazy helper, cap tipped forward. He looked up. Gary beckoned.
Sid's gonna drive from here. I'll be with the rest of the team. It's about another hour, hour and a half to our base for this op.
Gary waved and turned away. Someone Rafe had never seen had opened the other door and was already climbing in. Rafe couldn't tell much about him, except that he was dark and lean.
Understand you know something about surveillance and comm.
Something, yes.
Gary said he knew you back when. Just so you know, I didn't, so I got no reason to trust you, and I'll kill you if I think you're ruining the op. That clear?
Clear.
They said nothing more for the remainder of the drive, and it was dark by the time they reached the far side of the city. Sid proved a careful, skillful driver. He attracted no attention, and Rafe did his best to project bored relaxation. As traffic and lights thinned out on the road north, Brigenhaw, Rafe recalled, was the northernmost large city on the west coast. The air grew markedly colder. Sid made no move to turn on the van's heater, Rafe touched the controls of the programmable underwear. Finally, Sid turned off the main road onto a secondary, and then another, always moving toward the mountains and climbing. It grew colder yet. They came to a cluster of vacation cottages overlooking a stream, and Sid pulled into a lean-to shelter. Before Rafe could say anything, he had touched a control on the dash, and Rafe felt the van shudder. Then blackness rose around them as the van sank down into the ground and something closed overhead.
Vada's War, Command Decision, is continued on the next CD.